And welcome to Four Women, Four Health, a podcast where holistic health practitioners come together to empower you with expert insights and practical tips on a wide range of topics, including gut health, nutrition, mental well-being, and making informed decisions. Join us every Monday for a dose of inspiration, education, and empowerment as we explore the transformative impact of holistic health on our lives. Thank you for tuning in. Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning back into Four Women, Four Health. We're always so happy to have you here with us to kick off your week. This week, we're talking about something that is near and dear to my heart. And I have been a personal trainer for over, I think it's like 12 years now. And today we want to talk to you about exercise. We want to share some pretty shocking statistics with you and kind of encourage you to take action in your own life and not to wait into the new year to do so. I know that the new year is around the corner, and for a lot of people, they're just like, you know what, I'm just going to put some goals on the calendar for January 1st, and I'm just going to do whatever I want until then. And we want to kind of, you know, halt that mindset and kind of give you something to think about this holiday season. Specifically, we want to just talk about how to help encourage you to create a lasting habit out of exercise. I don't know about you, but I'm sure we can all say that we've experienced a time or two where we have set a goal for the new year and it was going really great for the first 3 weeks. And then all of a sudden something happens and we fall off and it's just like, oh, we'll just wait until next January. And you know what? The truth is it probably happens for a lot of people because statistically, if you look, you know, only about 23% of adults actually exercise regularly, right? So Where do you fall within that statistic? And what does that mean? And how often should you be working out? That's kind of what we're going to dive into today. So let's do it.
That's a crazy statistic, 23%.
I know. Ugh. And let's talk about it. Like, why do you think it's so hard? Why do you think it's so difficult to create a lasting routine when it comes to exercise? And what qualifies as exercise?
I feel like for me, I think the biggest barrier is time. Time management.
Yeah. And I think that honestly, many people, they feel like they need to go to a gym or have a gym membership, mm-hmm. and they don't recognize that you can do simple things. I mean, even walking around your neighborhood and giving yourself a goal of between 8,000 to 10,000 steps a day, that's bigger than just sitting around being stagnant, because how many people are sitting behind a desk, you know, from 9 to 5 and not doing anything? But I think too, one of the other things is that with how busy the average family is, with kids trying to shuffle one kid to the next, there's a lot of, I would say probably more moms that are sacrificing time, whether people can get up earlier and beat, you know, the morning rush before the kids are in school and before work begins. Some people are able to prioritize that. But I think the other thing we've talked about, you can exercise, but then if you're not going to sleep and getting that 7-8 hours of sleep, you know, you're going to run your adrenal system into the ground because you're not giving your body the ability to repair and recover the way it needs. So it really takes discipline. You know, Janelle, you know.
Yeah, it does. I think that one of my biggest tips as a personal trainer, not only somebody that really enjoys exercise myself, but I've worked with all types of clients, all different ages. I've worked with kids that are in sports. I've worked with pregnant mamas. I've worked with weight loss clients. I've worked with weight gain clients. And I think the ultimate thing is that there's no one size fits all for what exercise that is defined as for you. I think the main thing is body movement, like finding mm-hmm. something that you can do consistently that doesn't cause pain, that maybe even causes joy, but also gets your heart rate up and maybe helps to boost your endurance and whatnot. and something that makes sense for your life. There are some people that go out and they run marathons and that's great. And they have marathon training and that's aligned with their health goals. And then there are some people that literally do yoga every day. And I think that the biggest thing is just first and foremost, deciding what your goals are and then what type of exercise would support that goal. I think that's the biggest thing. Like, for example, if you're looking to lean out and tone up, running 5 miles a day is not the right fit for you. So I think the biggest thing is just like informing yourself of like, okay, what does each type of exercise do and what would be the best fit for me? And then look at your schedule and make time, because let me tell you something. I'm a mom of four. I also have my own practice that I run and I'm maxed out in clients right now. And you're never going to have time. You have to make time. You have to make time. And there are days where my body movement consists of writing emails or getting back to my clients on my phone and walking up and down the hall in my house. Some people might look in the window and think like, dang, she is crazy. But you know what? That if that's all I have for that day, then that's all I have. Or sometimes I look at my schedule the night before and I'm like, oh, well, we got to get up and do X, Y, and Z tomorrow. So I'm going to set my alarm just a little bit earlier so that I do have the time to carve out.
I think that's super important that you have to make time and schedule it ahead of time. Otherwise, you're going to fall off.
You're going to wait until like after a long work day or like doing dinner with the kids, like you're so much more likely to not get it in. So
yeah.
I've always been that person that, you know, my past episode from a couple weeks back of my morning ritual, like body movement has always been a part of that for me because it's like, I know how important it is. It's not just for weight purposes either. I think so many people are like, I just want to lose weight, so I'm going to go to the gym for the new year. But yes, that could be a part of your weight loss journey, but there are so many other really important benefits of exercise. And so what motivates me to get out of bed each day is like, I want to know that I'm going to be the healthiest version of myself so I could be here to take care of my kids and to you know, someday see my grandkids. And so to really understand like the importance of exercise, it's not just for your body and how it looks on the outside. It's so much about what happens on the inside. A lot of people don't even realize, you know, that I'm a gut health nerd and a fertility nerd. And that's what I talk about every day in my practice is like exercise can really impact your gut health and exercise can impact your fertility in both directions. Like too much of it is not a good thing. Too little of it is not a good thing. So you really just have to inform yourself and learn like what is a happy medium. And so from my perspective as a trainer, it would be, you know, 5 days a week of 30 minutes of body movement. So whether that be a brisk walk, a yoga session, strength training, you know, you kind of get to decide, but it really should align with your goals. And then also if you're somebody just getting started, you obviously wouldn't start with 5 days a week. As health practitioners, we usually recommend 2 days a week to get started and really creating a habit with that first. And then once you get that down, then you start adding in, okay, I'm really loving this. I feel like I've got this down. I've done it for a month. Let me add in a third day. And then you work your way up to about 5 days a week. If possible, obviously, sometimes it might not be the same week to week. 4 or 5 days a week is great, a great goal. And then you maintain that for your life. And when you're working up toward that, it shouldn't be like, oh, I'm just doing this to fit in a dress for a wedding or so that I can be X, Y, or Z size. This is my lifestyle. Like I'm doing this for my health.
Yeah. I love that. I couldn't agree more. And I think, you know, one of the things that as a busy mom myself, as somebody who also has an active practice and is teaching in the community, I have to get creative about, you know, exercise. It's not always downstairs in my gym, in my basement, like I want it to be. So sometimes it means going to Wegmans. And when I'm at Wegmans, instead of pushing a cart, I'm grabbing a basket and I'm walking around with my groceries and I'm carrying and lifting the weight, or I'm being intentional about where I'm parking and I'm parking further away so that I can, you know, walk further. I know, I remember when I used to work at the mall growing up, like there were mall walkers who were religious and they were older people who would get up early hours in the morning before the stores would even open, and they would walk the mall. And it was like, it was a good thing because it got them up out of their homes and socializing with other people. And I think sometimes it's important to remember, like, you don't have to just throw in the towel just because what you're doing doesn't look like what your friend's doing. Like, I have girlfriends who love going to the gym. They love going to the gym. For me in this season right now, you know, I go to the sauna and that's my thing in the morning, but I can get in and out of the sauna in 30 minutes. Like, to go in and out of the gym right now in 30 minutes, I can do that downstairs in my basement. So you also have to find, you know, what works best for you in each season of life and recognize that you're going to make, you know, those changes as necessary. And you just have to be more intentional and kind of meet yourself where you're at. But you can, in terms of like the time thing, I think that's one of the biggest keeps so many of us from actually doing it, you know? And it's like, just start, just lift weights, you know, go for a walk, like get a treadmill at work, like one of those, you know, on the go treadmills. I tell my clients that are at work, like, get one of those things that can go underneath the desk and like walk steps, you know, while you're at work. If that's all you got, like, you've got to work with what you got.
I was going to say for me, Meg, that whole definitely being intentional. And I guess for me, I was coming from a three sport athlete. You know, I had played sports all my life. And then I got into, you know, the undergrad and chiropractic curriculum. And it was just like all books, sedentary all the time. Mm-hmm. And honestly, it's so funny because being in a health related field, that was definitely my least healthy point in my life. And
of course, I mean,
super, so ironic. But I think my biggest block was I thought I needed to be in the gym for at least an hour minimum at a time. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I would say up until about 2 years ago when I started exercising consistently again, it's a half hour here. It's challenging myself to do, you know, deep squats when I need to pick something up off the floor, or just challenging myself throughout the day. And I noticed such a difference in my mental health is the first thing I definitely noticed. So just like not having to be in a gym in that space for X amount of time and just kind of spreading it throughout my day, that's when I noticed the biggest difference for myself.
You bring up such a good point, because I think too, for a lot of people, like a lot of people will say that I'm too anxious, or I'm going through a seasonal depression or something like that, or I'm not motivated. And so what a lot of people don't actually realize is that a lot of what we teach on this podcast, or even what we're talking about today, doing those things are actually steps in the right direction to like overcoming some of those things, like some of those struggles. A lot of people don't realize exercise lowers your risk of anxiety, depression, cardiovascular disease, type 2 diabetes, metabolic disorders, hypertension, and even some cancers. Like, I actually listened to a podcast through Dr. Cabral, one of my favorite podcasts, talking about how exercise can reduce your chances of getting cancer. And it's just so important to just inform yourself too, that like sometimes doing the thing that seems hard in the moment is the thing that does bring you the motivation to keep going with it. And the more you give your body healthy foods, the more your body's going to crave it. The more you acclimate exercise into your lifestyle, the more it's going to feel normal and less challenging and less intimidating. And so if you're one of those people that you're like intimidated by going to the gym, or you can't afford a special like spin class or something like that, it's really about getting creative and saying like, this is very important. This is for my health and my future, and just even just like, you know, your energy and your ability to function every day. Like, it really does help. And so being able to take a step back and saying, maybe I'm not willing to go to the gym, and maybe I'm not able to go to a workout class, but what can I do? Like, maybe you can purchase a couple of pieces of equipment to have. I will tell you the truth. Anybody that knows me knows I used to work out in my kitchen. I used to do pre-recorded workouts in my kitchen for years because we didn't have space. And I would wake up before my family, I would go downstairs and work out next to the stove, in between the stove and the refrigerator, and do what I had to do. And I got in the best shape that I could back then before I got into gut healing and all of that, but it worked for me. And then when I finally was able to get to the gym, I had so much confidence because I was like, wow, like I literally taught myself how to make it a priority and make it a commitment. And then you build confidence. Like I think for anyone, when you're just getting started with something, it's like, I don't know if I'm doing it right. I don't know if my form's right. And that's why where a personal trainer can really come in handy. Like if you need a trainer to kind of just show you how the machines work or teach you how to do good form so you can go off and do it on your own, that'll really help you build some confidence. But if you have confidence in yourself, like, and you know that it's working and you give it, what is it? Did you say earlier, Brooke, like it's 21 days?
21 days, yeah.
Yeah, to create new habits and whatnot, you can, once you start feeling the benefits, you're going to want to keep going with it because it just feels great to be able to see some of your chronic health issues kind of fall by the wayside.
Well, and I don't know if people are familiar with this or not, but some insurance companies actually incentivize their patients, their clients to work out. And so they used to have a program, Excellus did. It was like where you would get reimbursed if you worked out X amount of days. Cause I remember we used to qualify and like our Beachbody could get reimbursed, the membership that we paid. We were able to get money back for that. And I think they still do some things to certain degrees, but it, you know, even in terms of like long term, as an asset to your family, as an asset to, you know, your employees where you work and your friendships and your church, like whatever community you're a part of, when you invest in your health, like it's not just you going to the gym, it's you taking care of yourself so that other people eventually aren't having to take care of you, and the ramifications of you not taking care of yourself aren't going to affect the other people, your loved ones, people that you're closest with in your family. Because that, I think it's so easy to make excuses. And then it's like, all of a sudden people are like, oh, I have to go to the gym now because I don't have a choice. Or New Year's rolls around and it's like, oh, it's new year, new me. We were talking about this earlier. But like even when you're a new mom and you're trying to get yourself back into balance and heal through postpartum, like you can even use your little babes to help you exercise, like lifting your babies, squats with your babies. Like it doesn't have to be over the top. You just want to get into that habit because I think the other thing that we, our culture needs to do, our generation needs to do, is kind of rewrite what exercise, what the true meaning of it is, and the importance of investing in it long term for our kids. Because I remember personally, like seeing a lot of exercising to lose weight, like you were saying, Janelle, or like the fad diets or the turbo, or I think it was called, or some Tybo, or some, like all these different like workout programs that would come out, and people weren't really talking about working out for the right reasons. It was always, you know, to fit into the right clothes or because summer was coming and you had to have a really good beach body. And I think working out needs to be, like I was saying before, like one of those things like brushing your teeth every day, brushing your hair, like something that you do because it's good for your metabolic health, good for your digestive health, you know, good for your mental health. And those things, not necessarily, you know, just because everybody's going to the gym and working out to be cool and, you know, it's what everybody is doing because it's trendy kind of thing. Like we need to really set those examples for our kids and show them that healthy balance too and how to create those healthy habits. Because I mean, the statistics show now that what, 54% of kids are diagnosed with chronic disease, diabetes is on the rise. Like that's exercise and lifestyle.
And to like Janelle was saying, where she takes steps in her kitchen or was walking around the house, I vividly have this ingrained in my head. My mom did quite a few exercise classes, but she was marching around every night getting her steps in. And steps. I think that was really eye-opening. It was adorable. But I mean, I, as a young girl, saw my mom getting movement, and that was just kind of ingrained in us as well.
Mm-hmm. There's two things I want to say about it. Number one, it's it is impactful because my 2-year-old constantly wants to do it with me. He'll like grab my hand and we'll just do, I usually walk after dinner for 10 minutes and I have 4 kids and sometimes my husband's schedule's wonky. So I'll do it in my hallway and my kids will join me and we'll just be walking back and forth talking about our day. And they get it. They see that it's like, they know because mommy tries to educate them that I'm trying to balance my blood sugar after a meal. And usually that's the best time to do that. But anyway, I also wanted to speak to what Meg said about balance because we don't want to leave anyone out on this episode or on this podcast ever. So just a little note for those of you that are listening to this that are like, this doesn't really apply to me because I go to the gym every single day of the year. And sometimes I even work out for 2 or 3 hours a day. Coming from somebody that has, you know, struggled with finding balance with exercise or always feeling like I have to compete with myself. In the past, I've done a lot of growing and a lot of healing and I still am, but just a friendly reminder to you too, that it's okay to tone it back a little bit too and get yourself closer to that healthy medium. Yeah. An hour a day. That's absolutely great. If you can fit that into your schedule and you feel like your body is acclimated to that, but I know that there are a lot of people out there in that 23% that do struggle with, oh, did I do enough or did I work hard enough or I always have to work more hard. And sometimes we get stuck in that too, even if you're somebody that hasn't started yet and then you really see some crazy body transformation take place or you feel the mental health benefits. It is also important to know that too much of a good thing, just like anything else, could be detrimental in that overdoing it can actually cause stress on your body. So your best bet is 30 minutes to an hour, depending on your health goals, depending on what you're training for, what you're striving for. But didn't want to leave anyone out. We truly understand that everybody that listens here has their own journey, their own path, and their own struggles. And we just want to encourage you to get started today. Like whether you're somebody that, you know, needs to tone it back or somebody that needs to get moving, we want you to encourage you to do it tomorrow. Like pull out your calendar right now. What can you do tomorrow? Is it for 10 minutes? Can you take your dog for a walk? Can you call a friend and see if they want to do something active together? If you're somebody that's overdoing it, like can you cut your workout by 15 minutes tomorrow? Like is there something that you could do to get closer to your health goal starting tomorrow rather than waiting until January 1st? Because healthy for the holidays is something that a lot of people say, but like truly think about it. What greater gift to give yourself during the holidays than the gift of like getting started toward a better future for you and your family.
Amen. Amen. And I think at a later date on another episode, we need to dive further into female hormone health, fertility, because I think there's a lot of women that don't realize the ramifications of working out on their cycle in the different phases of their cycle and how that could be detrimental in ways if you're not supporting your body the right way. Even though, because we get so uncomfortable with the way that we look in our body sometimes and feel throughout the different weeks during the month. And sometimes people think like, oh, I'm just going to go work out or, oh, I'm not going to eat as females. And it's like, those are things that actually we need to be educated in the right ways about, because that could be doing harm to our body in ways that, you know, we're thinking we're doing good things because that's what we've been taught. But the reality is we're not. And we don't want to teach our younger generation of women, young women, you know, to do those things, because it really is important to create healthy habits. And like we said, not just healthy for the holidays, but healthy long term, because then you can spend so many holidays with your families, you know, and loved ones together. And that's really what it's all about at the end of the day.
Couldn't agree more. So I think at this point, what we encourage you to do is kind of assess where do you stand in as far as exercise, and what are your goals, and what can you do to start moving yourself forward to a healthier you right now, starting tomorrow. And we encourage you to take action, because listening to this episode is only the first step. You know, it's great to have the knowledge, but what's really going to impact your life is taking action on it. So we're proud of you. If you don't believe in yourself, borrow our belief in you, because we know that you can do it. And we know that this time next year, when the holiday rolls around, you're going to be so grateful that you did gift yourself with the gift of health that keeps on giving. So we will see you back next time. And thank you so much for tuning in with us today.
Thank you for tuning in to 4 Women, 4 Health. We hope you found today's episode insightful and inspiring. Don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an update. Please remember that our discussions are for informational purposes only and are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any illness. Always consult with a healthcare professional before making any changes to your health routine. Stay well and see you next time.